Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. I'm Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry. We are excited to have you with us today. And the quote of the day is, if you don't like the road you're walking, start paving another one, Dolly Parton. And I think that quote really embodies the entrepreneurial spirit. And speaking of paving new roads, we are excited for this week's guest, Chris Allen. Chris is an exceptional leader who leads by example with over 16 years of sales experience. Chris joined the insurance industry in 2019, and his team has already produced over 6.4 million, protecting over 7,600 families. Chris, his personal production stands over 910,000, and he's personally protected more than 1,000 families. That is absolutely incredible. So, Chris, welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast, and you know a thing or two about sales. 16 years?
I think we were doing the math. It's like right at 15.
Right at 15.
Well, the hair makes all the sense now. You know, I understand the stress of sales.
It's a Glen 16.
That's right. Hell, we're working on 20. You know, we're about 20 years experience. I want to context that $910,000 in production, because that's a big deal. And for those that may not understand our business the way that that those that do or that are in the middle of it, that's at about what would you say, $5,000 chunks of, is that right? No, about $1,200 chunks, right? Our average application.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, when we talk about almost a million, now we'll do the Glennism, $1 million in production, that's just to make the math easy, $1,000 at a time. So, Chris, you may be better than me all those years in sales. $1 million at 1,000, how many families have you helped with that?
So sales doesn't always involve math.
That's right. I bet you could calculate if we were talking commission on that deal.
I think I'm in sales because I was bad at
math. He protected over 1,000 families. I mean, he had over 1,000 applications. So over 1,000, that is huge. I mean, for you personally to come in here and be able to, you know, having prior sales experience, because what we've learned is, when you hire outside, and sometimes, Chris, maybe you can attest to this, prior sales folks have bad habits, right? They come with maybe some bad habits.
Definitely. I brought some with me.
So speaking of that, tell everyone a little bit about what you did before. What was your journey up into final expense?
So right out of high school, I went into a lineman school. Not football, power line. it was a new thing that just started, and I was like, well, I don't really want to go to college. I'm want to make money now, so I decided to do that. Did that for a couple of years and realized manual labor wasn't really my thing. Don't really know too many people that have a passion for that, but you earn every penny for sure. And it was just a little too much for me. So one day I was driving back from driving a bucket truck. I was on my way back to where we parked it to get in my car, and I passed a car dealership, and it had a big sign up there that said hiring salespeople, and I called them on the way to go park my car, got an interview for the next morning, put my job, and started there the next day.
How old were you? I'm sorry. I should listen better.
I just turned 20.
20 years old.
Yeah. So I was blind for maybe like a couple of years, and then straight into that.
So what prompted you? What were some pain points? What kind of prompted you to start looking elsewhere? Because being somewhere for 10 years, you know, most folks at this day and age can't last a year in a career. We've all seen that, especially, you know, in some of the other businesses. But what kind of prompted you to start looking for for another career?
So it was a mix of things. Business had slowed down at that dealership and a ton of overhead in a store of that size. That kind of put a little bit more stress on an already stressful job. Mm-hmm. So that, and I mean, my schedule was 9 to 9 every day. Never had 2 days off in a row. Even if you had a scheduled vacation, they'd make you feel bad about taking it right before you did. It's just kind of the way, the nature of the beast in that world. But it's just it's a stressful job. You have to pretty much, I tell people it steals your soul a little bit. So there's really, you have to really spend the majority of your time there. I was engaged at the time. So,
okay.
You know, looking at maybe, you know, potentially starting a family and what that would look like, and 12 hours a day, you know, 6 days a week, that can kind of makes things difficult. So this was kind of thrown in my lap and presented to me, and I said, okay,
I'll give it a go.
What was thrown in your lap?
A previous situation that we all know about.
Yeah.
Anymore, kind of got thrown into that, and I almost gave up on it. But then Oregon came along, and it changed. It was completely different.
Yeah, you know, we touched a little bit about that with our previous guest, Corey Price. So Corey touched on kind of the difference in where you guys started and where you came from to where Orca was. If you missed any of that about, you know, this dog-eat-dog world of what can be a pretty ruthless insurance world versus the culture that we try to create and we attempt to create here at Orca, check that out. Corey did a great job kind of diving into the difference of the industry. But, you know, we're just going to act like you started right here with us. So, you know, you started with us 2019. So when you started with Orca, you came from car sale, 10 years, a lot of experience. What has been the biggest thing, number, I guess, kind of two parts that you love about what you're doing now, but then maybe a little bit of the differences that you see from where you came from?
So the biggest differences, I would say, to start there, it still is sales. And I'm not going to say that, you know, that there's nothing. I'm not going to say that there's not anything that I brought over that didn't help me, because definitely it did. In sales, you know, you do gain a lot of skills in car sales. It's difficult, but you learn a lot. I learned a lot. I grew up a lot. So bring that over. It was really just the difference in processes. So I say the number one difference is what you're selling. So you're selling something that's tangible, that, you know, people can touch it, feel it, smell it. They want it. They can brag about it and show it off. They can post it on social media and show all their friends. They can drive around with the windows down. They get seen. Nobody really like, oh man, let me tell you about this life insurance policy I got. It's not really something that fucking people go around, you know, wearing like a badge of honor. But so, you know, selling something that's really non-tangible, that's really, you know, an idea, it's peace of mind. That is something that was a big switch. But also just, you know, the field you're playing on. If you come to the dealership, you came to me, you know, you're on my turf. I was there more than I was home. So that was my home. You came to my house.
Uh-huh.
Where I'm literally meeting in someone else's house in their living room. So it's, I kind of started out, you know, with that control. Mm. You started out with that, you inherited it pretty much. And then with this, you have to kind of gain that. So that was a big difference right there. The culture's definitely different. for sure. There is a lot of, you know, a lot after the sale with the car that you have to do. With here, there's not so much. So definitely big differences, but still a lot of sales skills that I did carry over that I still think helped me.
I want to expand just. Let's expand a little bit on that, you know, the sales skills, because I wasn't in sales before. You know, some people now at this point, they say you're always selling, you know, you're selling the decision to where we're going to eat tonight with your wife. But I didn't understand that, right? Being in the golf business, I never looked at myself that way. So what were some of the things that helped you that you've learned over those this long career in the sales world?
So the importance of smiling, just communication, just how to talk to people. And then some of like the instinctual things that you pick up if you're in sales long enough, just, you know, kind of knowing how to dance with the one you're with, picking up on the different personality types and how to really communicate with that person. Since being here, I've learned a lot more on that, talking to Chris Derry and things like that. But, you know, I had a basic idea, but definitely I've got a better understanding of it now, for sure, after, you know, diving through the assessments and everything that we do.
Sure.
And hey, let me, because Chris, your dad's an entrepreneur, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So were some of those traits you grew up watching him smile and communicate with people, I would say those are something that he was essentially showing you as you were growing up, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
And probably
gone a lot.
He was gone a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe not intentionally teaching you, right?
You noticed, right? You noticed little things that he did when he was out in public communicating with people.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. So it's a culmination of, I guess, growing up and past experience.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. So, Chris, I know you've got some good stories. All right. I know you've got some good stories. Anybody that's ever been in Final Expense, right? If you have not, it's a special kind, right? We've seen the craziness. So what has been either the funniest or the most impactful story that you've seen to this point? Because I know you probably had to figure out which one you were going to share.
Well, I mean, what kind of podcast is this? Is this like Rogan, where, you know, we can talk about it? I can say anything I want.
They added a lot of it out, I think. So we'll keep it PG-13, I guess. Yeah. You know, fair. We can share the truth. We don't want to, you know, PG anymore. It's almost fake.
Well, I mean, I have seen a lot. I've seen a lot. Anybody that's been here over a year, they've also seen a lot. You know, the things that you see in this business is abnormal. There's nothing really normal about it. There's no other business that I know of that's like it. So some of the things that some people would think are just completely outlandish and insane, it's things that we see on a weekly basis. So things that really stick out are just really out there. I'll tell one of Lindsay's favorites is a lady in West Virginia. I was, you know, sitting there talking to her. We were towards the end of the sit, and I'm, you know, finishing up the application. I'm typing on my iPad, and she's, you know, a talker, so she's just kind of been rambling the entire time. So I'm projecting when I can, but really I'm just trying to finish the application, and I kind of hear her say, "Yeah, I just seen him in there." Like, he jumped me again. And then I went on for a minute, and I was like, wait a minute. She's talking about a snake, and she said she just saw it. We're inside. You said you just saw this thing? And she's like, oh, yeah, it's over here. And she had a wood pile inside her house where her furnace was. I mean, as soon as you walk in the door, wood pile. That's the first lesson there. Don't keep a wood pile in your house. You probably won't have a snake from it. I was like, well, take me over there. Because, you know, she's 78 or something like that. She's up there. I can't leave the poor lady with a snake in her house. And I pick up a log. I mean, I grew up in southeastern Kentucky. It was a copperhead. Like, before, I know what a copperhead is. That was a copperhead.
And if you don't, those are poisonous. And
we want to touch them.
Cause a little bit of trouble if we happen to be bitten by that one.
Probably will kill you, but it's going to make you sick, and you're going to have the long road of recovery. I know people that have been bit by them. It's not good. Probably, you're not going to die, but you're not going to enjoy it.
Not good to have in the house either.
Yeah. Right? As soon as I picked up a log, he was right there. So I just took that log and I just hit the hell out of it until I was comfortable enough to sling it out the front door.
Oh, man. I bet you somebody that doesn't understand our business listens to a story like that and wonders why. Why do we do what we do? I mean, so what did you think, Chris? And because, you know, you're probably coming from I would say an upper end type of client that you're dealing with, especially being in management, those are the people that you're looking for somebody that likes to show they got money, even though that money might be on a credit card and it's really not in the bank and whatnot. To the people that, you know, we love our clients and we love our folks, Final Expense, especially in our neck of the woods, West Virginia's, the Virginia, the mountains, the Kentuckys. We've always said these families that we help the most and that we have the most fun with are the ones that look like the 747s crash landed in their front yard, right?
Right.
So you pull up to that place, and as you've very enjoyably shared, you never know what you're going to see on the inside of that door. What did you think about that culture shock? Was it a culture shock when you got in our business? How have you adapted from the business professional to who we are?
To see all walks of life in the car business as well, but definitely these people, I haven't met a lot of these people. definitely not there, but I prefer them. I would, if I could choose, you know, which demographic to do business with, this by far, hands down, would be the one. They're simple, but they're, you know, just, they've worked so odd of work their whole life, mm-hmm. and simple jobs. And I mean, if we could sign these life insurance contracts with handshakes, I think they'd be okay with that. Like, that's,
yeah,
people I would prefer to do business with. You know what you never know what you're going to get, but also you know what you're going to get.
All right. Keeps you on your toes, keeps it exciting, and really makes the days enjoyable, right?
100%. Absolutely. They're definitely salt of the earth people. I mean, you learn so much from them. I mean, you really do. They teach you all kinds of different things, but you do see some crazy stuff. That's for sure. But you do kind of become immune to it after a while. It's just like, oh, well, that's just, you know, another thing.
Yeah. I mean, they might not be, you know, college educated, but they have some skills that everything
gets you through life.
Yeah. Everything goes to hell.
I'm not college educated being it, you know, I mean, that's okay. And I, you know, just to really put into context that family, that lady that you were in there helping, not only put a burial policy in place that is going to make sure that when that day comes for them and the one she's leaving behind, her beneficiaries, is going to be as easy as possible. But we actually were able to even talk about an annuity and help her with an annuity as well, which is protecting her from, you know, any kind of crazy stock market, any kind of fluctuations, and really giving her a sense of security and a peace of mind.
Definitely. I mean, that was the insane thing. Who would have thought that somebody in a house that would pile when you walk in the front door, there's a snake alive in her house, a deadly creature. No telling other creatures were in this house. And she has an annuity that could, she couldn't sell everything in that house, the property that was on it, the car, and have close to what was in that annuity. So you never know what you're gonna find and what you're gonna uncover.
So when you think about, paving a new path, right? And I know, Chris, you've actively been growing your agency. I know you've got a lot of folks in Kentucky, and then you've got a large group out of Mississippi as well. When did you start growing? I was trying to think about that because I know you started in 2019, and I felt you pretty much immediately kind of jumped into it.
I mean, immediately I started with a warm market. You know, people that I knew, people from the car business. It was something like, you know, you come in and you enjoy something so much and you think it's such an opportunity, you want to share it with other people. So I immediately was, you know, telling everybody about it and was getting asked about it a lot too.
Because they probably knew you'd been at the same dealership for over 10 years and they're like, hey, this our number one guy just left. He had to leave for a better opportunity, right?
Yeah,
not just to go do something else to make less money.
Yeah, and people see it too. So, you know, just the way you live your life, that somebody saw me, or there's a picture posted somewhere of me on a golf course or something on a Thursday. Like, what in the world are you doing? You know, you're going on vacations and trips, and they see you in different places and just things like that. I mean, word of mouth, and you're always, you know, people would stop asking me to do anything on weekends. Like, none of my friends would even ask me to do anything on a Saturday because they knew the answer was no. But now
Rob's working.
I enjoy asking them.
I love it.
Asking them, knowing that they're going to be able to say no. I can.
So, they do that. They've done that to me because of the three kids. So,
yeah.
You know, it just shifts. But no, it's a beautiful thing, right? The business has provided that for you, and it becomes very visible when people around you are used to seeing you on the car lot, or if they don't see you, they know where you're at 60 hours, 7 days a week. And then they see you, out at the lake on Friday or playing golf. And clearly you must still have the revenue that you were generating in that nice six-figure job that you worked so hard for in the car business. So, yeah, it starts to speak for itself. And I always say our business, it's such a good business to be in. Because we've said it's the forever business. I don't know if anybody else has ever said that or we made that up, but it's the forever business, right? One thing's certain, and that's one thing, maybe two, based on today's podcast. Death is certain. So is change as we walk through life. But again, we've talked about this a lot. Here in America, our average, we have 70%+ of folks that pass away with debt. And that average debt number is at $70,000. So the funeral director who needs $10,000 cash does not always have that. It's not so readily available with most of 7 out of 10 people that pass away. So that is what creates this ongoing need for our business and the problem that we solve for folks. And it's great to talk about, yes, we can make a six-figure income. Yes, we can do that and generate that in 3 days a week. Yes, we have fun with all these families and tell these crazy stories like Chris has. We do it with our friends. You know, a lot of these folks that are in our business were friends, their family. If not, they become. And, you know, that's what drives our culture. All those great things being said, there are certainly some challenges that come from being in our business. And for me, it was in sales in general, Chris. And when I asked you earlier, like, what is some of those things? One of the biggest things for me was taking on the no's, right? Like taking on the adversity of life. I learned myself looking in the mirror early in my career, sales career, that my life was fairly easy, right? Like I wasn't challenged a whole lot. I didn't grow up in poverty. You know, you could kind of walk through things and everything worked out. You never separated yourself from the pack. But adversity and challenge was the hardest part of our business, one of the hardest for me. When you think about some of the challenges you faced in our business, what would you speak to on that?
So the challenges is definitely... for me was kind of staying in the mindset that I needed to be in to perform. So it can work both ways. It can be this, you know, downward spiral where you start out in a good mood and then something happens, you get a door killed, somebody slams the door in our face, whatever. And then, you know, that just kind of chips away at you until you're in this downward spiral. And what happened is you're producing these door kills and these no's yourself. So whenever you lose the mindset that you need to be in and you go up to that door that could have been the house that makes you weak, but you didn't show up prepared. You didn't show up, you know, with the right mindset, and then you really you killed yourself. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely a challenging thing that I think, you know, everyone's been through. But I mean, it can also work to the other effect. If you could go to the very first house, that'd be a lay down and, you know, have a decent house, your very first knock, and then it just elevates you to where you're, you know, just exuding that confidence and what you need to be to go to end up having a huge week.
Right. Well, and then you're on fire, because I've said this before, but if even though they might not be the most educated individuals that we're visiting, they know if you're 5% off your game. They know. They know in the first 60 seconds that they meet you, right?
And so, or they know more so than the college educated, you know, business they can pick up on that more than anybody else.
I agree 1,000%. And so let me ask you this, because you talked about your mindset, that being the most challenged, ensuring that, hey, look, I'm in this great mindset. What are some, do you have like a habit that you do weekly or something that you stick to that puts you in that mindset before you go out to door? Because, you know, you've got a wife, you've got two kids at home. Is there something that you, he's got a baby, something that you do that kind of keeps you in that mindset, like, okay, I'm ready to go?
So first off, I think that's something that everyone has to experience in this business. I don't think you can just tell somebody that and then pick up on it. So when you're coming into this business, you really have to go through that adversity and go through those ups and downs to really understand it, to really put it to action. But as you go through that, a way to sustain that is really whenever you get those door kills, to not really be so much relying on that one house. Mm-hmm. So if you don't need it, you don't have that commission breath, you're not so upset whenever you have a bad day. You can have a whole day of door kills and people not home and things like that. But if you're, you know, financially stable already, then it's not something that's gonna, you know, make or break you. You can take a bad day, a bad week on the chin and still be ready to go the next week.
Right. And so something I know you talked about at our conference back in February, something that you do every Monday morning. So can you share with everybody what you do? Again, we are 1099 agents. What do you do every Monday morning to kind of get you jolted to go?
I pay myself. Pay myself every Monday morning. It doesn't matter if I have, you know, have a ridiculous week, a $10,000 week. I'm paying myself the exact same as if I go to work, fall on my face, and lose money. So it doesn't matter what I do, I'm paying myself the same thing. So
you pay yourself every week.
Exactly. Pay myself every week the same thing, no matter what. And I separate my money. So you have to have a war chest in this business to go to war to make money. You have to have.
Now, just because you make your own bullets, Chris, doesn't allow for you to talk about your bank account being a war chest.
It's a war chest.
Oh, yes. We are from Kentucky, folks. Chris is in his garage making junk. Well, it is all legal. Everything is safe, secure. We're good to go. If you need protection one of these days, you can find us. But I agree. And you know, that is one thing that we've learned, right? Like the pressure of being at that point. So managing your money, right? First, most people get in our business because they need to separate themselves from where they are right now. I love saying none of the kids at school are telling their teacher that they want to be Mr. Insurance Man when they grow up, right? So our job seems to find the people that have not necessarily found their path to that above average income, or what we call the what you're worth income type of job yet. And that's okay, because we have opportunity showing up every day and we can help you with that. But when you don't have that money in the bank, it seems a little bit harder to take the no, right? Mm-hmm. And you've done a great job educating our team on not only how to generate money, right? We got with 1099, we used to say every Monday we're going out broke and we're not getting paid. So I love how you flipped the script on that mindset of, no, we're putting our paycheck in the bank Monday before I go out to work. You know, I see those commercials nowadays, I guess it's from Chime Bank account, about why do we have to wait for our paycheck? And, you know, it's these cash advance deals. I'm just like, man, there's so many different ways to spend this in America. But such a pressure reliever. So money management is great. And I think that also can create a consistency in what we do. I've always said the commission-based inconsistent paycheck, the way that you flatline that is to create consistency in your process. And it is a lot of learning, you know, sometimes a lot of on the job experience it the hard way, even though I've been told it 10 times, before I start to set in and make true change. But talk to us about, because I don't think we've touched on it, and you mentioned it the other day when we talked, about your focus in the home and that, or for your work week. You're not necessarily focused on this premium amount.
Yeah. Yeah. So something that really helped me early on was, you know, we're off, everybody wants to focus and write a big amount of premium. So if you want to, you know, write the big apps, you want to, you know, have that, your name on the top of the leaderboard. But something that really helped me is just not focusing on the monthly premium, not focusing on, and the reason this brought about was brought about because I was having a lot of chargebacks. So I reached out to, you know, people that have been doing this longer than me and, you know, kind of explained the problem I'm having. And the kind of the problem that we came up with was that we're probably focused too much and overselling on, mm-hmm. you know, that. So I switched my thinking and my goals to being just how many apps am I writing? How many people am I helping? And I'm not concerned with the premium. So that has really helped my persistency. You know, I don't get near the chargebacks that I used to, and I'm still making, you know, I'm making more money than I was before. But the biggest thing is I'm keeping it.
Bingo. You're keeping it.
Week, but if half of it falls off, what did you really do?
Right.
I wrote a couple big apps last week, and I was had a new guy training with me, and he was, you know, all pumped, and I was like, I don't like to do it that way. Like, I would much rather get the same amount of premium, $30 at a time, than to, you know, get 10 of those in one house. Like,
right, right.
That should scare you. And, you know, now whenever those people call you and that number pops up on your phone, your heart sinks a little bit. Like, oh, you don't want that. You want to get it the right way, which, you know, I feel confident about that. And I've also implemented things into my process about, you know, are you sure you can afford this? Is it for sure affordable? Instead of trying to talk them up, I'm talking them down. So that's definitely something that has changed a lot.
I love that. Let me ask you this, Chris, as we're wrapping up here, for advice for maybe someone that's looking to get into this business or maybe a current agent, what is a piece of advice that you would give to them?
I would say do what you have to do and commit yourself to 1 year.
Because
1 year, you're going to have, then the first year in this business is the hardest by far. For one, there's a learning curve and it's different for everyone. Some people come in hot out of the gate and then they're still going to get that sophomore slump that's going to happen. Some people come in and it's a little bit more of a ramp up and then they still get that sophomore slump. So commit to yourself that you're going to give it 1 year and you're not even going to think about, you know, giving up on this until that 1 year is up. But the other one, it would be to surround yourself with the best in the business that you see, the people that you see on the calls, giving the trainings, you know, pick their brains as much as possible, ask as many questions as possible, put yourself in front of those people, because if you're in the right place, like I feel like I am with Orca, everyone's going to be there to help you.
I love that, because actually I was actually talking to one of the other gentlemen that have been on the podcast, Kevin Glasscock, this morning, and he actually said the exact same thing about that first year being like the most challenging year. And if you can get past that first year, that's when it really kind of sets sail. So,
and like what I've implemented with, you know, paying myself every Monday, that's something that you have to have that, you know, war chest built up to be able to do. Well, everybody will ask, like, you know, Chris, I'm broke. I'm covered in this broke. How do I do that? And the simple answer that it's not a magic solution. It's just work your ass off until you do have that.
Right, right.
Put your head down, do whatever you need to do. Communicate that with, you know, family, wives, spouses, girlfriends, whatever. Have a goal. Know there's a means to an end. Put your head down, get it done. And then you can kind of take some of the pressure off and work the system.
Yeah, and I love that, because, I mean, you touch on so many important things right there that I'll just kind of summarize in bullet point real quick, you know, about being hungry, being curious, surrounding yourself with the people that can help you, you know, the power of five. We've always said, if you want to know what you're going to look like a year from now, look at the five people around you, right? Like, yeah, we have no idea the impact of that group. So focus in and be intentional about that group. Who are you surrounded with? Stay curious and ask those questions. Work harder to separate yourself, especially in an entrepreneurial business like ourselves. If we're not moving our business forward, it goes nowhere. And then the one last thing I'll touch on that year of commitment is that, and you can break this down and say it however you want. And one, we've so often completely overshoot what we can accomplish in one day. We so often overshoot what we may accomplish in 1 week, but we completely underestimate what consistency would produce for us in a month. And we can't even hardly touch or project what true consistency would do for us in 1 year. So that position somebody may be in that they feel like that's brought them to this business. If you stay hungry, you stay hardworking, and you surround yourself with those people that can change you or are where you want to go, it's amazing what this thing can do for you. And that's really anything that you commit yourself to. So you've been a proven example of that for us, Chris. We love your leadership on our team. We're so happy to have you. We're super blessed that you're a part of us and in AmeriLife. And Lindsay, I'll let you wrap this thing up.
Yes. And again, Chris, thank you so much for pouring into all the folks listening in today. If they're like, hey, I would love to get in touch with Chris, what is the best way? Email, phone number? Can you share that with everybody, please? Yep.
Email. Anybody can call me 502-541-9975. And then emails chrisallen@orca.life.
And it's Allen there now.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Yes. Thank you so much. All right. Have a great one.
See you soon.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's hype.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.